hung by the chimney with care in hopes that would soon be there. Yeah. All right. See, that's obviously a classic poem that we all know. It's been sung, it's been read, it's been dramatized in so many different ways. And you know, sadly, though, St. Nicholas has become synonymous with selfless generosity to retail stores, haven't we? To outrageous sales, to selfish crowds of customers running for the hottest gift. We were in Kohl's yesterday. Guess we were kind of falling in that same retail scene. But we were in Kohl's yesterday and talking with the cashier, and she was there on Black Friday, and we said, well, how'd it go? And she said, one of those things. But she said, you know, they really didn't have any problems with people until people started fighting over the carts, literally getting into arguments and fights over the carts in Kohl's in Indianapolis. It's like, okay, it's great. So, but, you know, it's good to be reminded that St. Nicholas was a real person. I don't know if many of you know that. He lived in the 4th century A.D., His name was Nicholas of Myra, and he was born to wealthy Greek Christian parents. And Nicholas grew up in a home full of faith, faith in Jesus. And his parents died suddenly in an epidemic, and he went on to become a priest, and then he went on to become a bishop of a group of churches there in Greece. And Nicholas was respected for his acts of kindness and generosity. He was known especially for giving gifts in secret, which evidently wasn't too secret because evidently people know, right? But he was known for that. Sometimes he would put coins in the empty shoes of the poor who were out sleeping on the streets. They would take their shoes off in the night, and he would put coins in their shoes, and they'd wake up and they'd have something to eat with the money that he would give them. So we need to know that, you know, St. Nicholas was a real person. And I'm not trying to be a joy robber. Those of you with parents, you've got to figure out what to do with Santa, okay? I'm just telling you that the life of a great man of faith evolved into a chimney-descending Santa Claus that we tell the children today. Yeah. Maybe you have another Christmas classic that warms your heart. Maybe it's Dickens's Christmas Carol. Christmas Carol. How many enjoy that one? Yeah. How many? Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah. Or the ever classic A Christmas Story. Right? You'll shoot your eye out. That's a good one. And so, you know, if you're like me, how many, you know, you waited all year long for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Charlie Brown's Christmas, and Santa Claus Coming to Town, right? Burgermeister, Meisterburger. Are you with me? Right? Okay, I want to make sure. You waited all year long for those shows to come, all right? And then there's a great classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. We want to show just a little bit of that this morning. Mark, you grab the lights there.
Mary, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet and I'm going to see the world.
Alone. I wish I was up there with them.
This is me. You remember me? George Bailey. What is it you want, Mary? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Uh-oh.
I wish I had $1 million. Trouble, Mr. Potter. I need help.
At exactly 10:45 p.m. Earth time,
that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
I don't want any plastic, and I don't want any ground floors, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone. You understand that? I want to do what I want to do.
Such a great classic Christmas movie, isn't it? It's A Wonderful Life. You know, and these Christmas classics, they're really heartwarming, you know, to a lot of people. And they do convey some truths about family, about friendship and generosity, but ultimately they fall short. They fall short in their ability to provide guidance for our lives. They fall short in providing us guiding us in towards inner peace in our lives. They fail to guide us toward a healed relationship, a healed family relationship. They all fall short of the Bible's message of true life that we found in Christ. And so, you know, none of us are going to tell a heartbroken spouse who's going through a divorce, why don't you recite some lines from It's a Wonderful Life? Nobody's going to say that. You'll never hear an adult or a child whose family member is dying of cancer pray to Santa Claus and put their hope in him for healing. You're never going to hear that. And so these Christmas classics can never really truly guide us. They fall short in leading us toward inner peace and peace in our relationships. And so what men and women need is a lasting light, don't they? They need a trustworthy, guiding light. They need a light that shines hope in the darkest moments of their lives and their hurts and their confusion. And so the light that we know that to be is really the message of Christmas. It's Jesus. Jesus is that light that gives us hope. And I think it's good that we be careful, though, about something. That we don't view Jesus as a seasonal light. Our recent snow was a stark reminder of the winter season, wasn't it? And every winter we act like it's going to last for an eternity, don't we? Oh, this is never going to end, this snow. But it's only a season. And then spring comes and it's 50 or 60 degrees, and then we'll be saying, well, if only we'll get warmer. And soon another season comes, and it does, and it gets warmer. We live by seasons. I mean, no, we live by them. We live by seasons, especially here in Indiana. We live by seasons. But as we think about Jesus, as we think about Christmas, we're at risk of viewing Jesus as seasonal. We're at risk. And we need to know that Jesus is available in every moment of our lives, not just seasonal. Jesus is available to guide us in every circumstance, in every season, at every turn of our lives. Jesus is available to guide us. This is the theme that's going to carry us through the next several weeks, if you will. Jesus Christ was born. He stepped on the scene of human history, and he offered these seven powerful words. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And he's still offering to light people's lives with meaning and purpose and true life. He's still doing that today. And your testimony of that, your evidence of that, that he's bringing life and meaning and he's lit up your life with his presence. Amen? So I want you to turn this morning, if you would, to Matthew in chapter 2. We're going to pray. I realize that Matthew chapter 2 is a section of Scripture that actually comes after the nativity account. Several years, in fact. A couple of years after the birth of Jesus. We're going to be reading about the wise men. But it holds some significant messages for all of us. And I want you to read that with me. But let's pray first. Lord, we just come to you asking that you provide some good hope in our lives. We pray, God, that this week, these next few weeks, wouldn't be seasonal. It wouldn't be just a fleeting moment. But we could see you and experience you, Jesus, with fresh faith. Help us, God, to focus in, to zero in on the messages, God, that you want to bring to us. Guide us, Lord, during these weeks. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 2. Read along with me if you have your Bibles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they replied, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, and who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact star the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And we'll stop there in the reading. Now, there's a couple of messages that I think we need to really hear this morning. I certainly need to hear them. And the messages as we begin are these. The first is, our lives matter. Our lives matter. And secondly, our impact is greater than we can imagine in this life. Our lives truly matter, and our impact is so much greater than we realize. There appears to be so much insignificance in the Christmas account, doesn't there? At least you get the impression that many of the characters doubted their own significance. They doubted their own importance to other people. I mean, the whole town of Bethlehem apparently felt insignificant because there was this prophetic reminder that they were not least of all. Not least of all, the prophet says about Bethlehem. And so here's what I want to say at the beginning of our time. Small doesn't have to mean insignificant. Small doesn't have to mean worthless. Small doesn't have to mean unimportant. Small doesn't have to mean no impact. It doesn't have to mean that at all. Mary and Joseph were ordinary people from a small town in Galilee, and they were ordered to go to an even smaller town in Judea. And by the way, I want you to think about something, and I'm not necessarily taking a position on receiving refugees, but I want you to think about something this morning. If you were forced, like Joseph and Mary, to leave your home, the place where you grew up, go to a foreign land where you are a stranger, and possibly be looked on with disdain because of your ethnicity, what would you call yourself? A refugee. You would call yourself a refugee. Mary and Joseph Jesus was a child refugee, if we think about that. Now, I just wanted to offer that to you when we think about this whole big issue of refugees. We need to think about the experience that that Joseph had, the experience that Mary had, and even the experience that Jesus had, who were forced from their own home. So, but back to my point, Joseph and Mary, they're really no different than you and me. No different. They got up, they worked hard, they dropped in bed exhausted, they got up the next day, and they did it all over again, and again, and again, and again. And probably they asked questions. Why am I doing this? You ever ask that? Why am I doing this? What for? Why am I doing this? What's it all for that I do this day after day after day after day? Does my life really matter by doing what I'm doing? But to God, Mary and Joseph's lives mattered. Eternally mattered. Eternally mattered. And then we have the wise men, right? The wise man came somewhere from the east. And some say modern-day Iraq, Iran, or Yemen. They may have came from Yemen. And they came, they worshipped, they left. Right? And more than likely, they never even knew the full impact that they made on this young couple. This young couple who both had angelic appearances about their newborn son. They both had angelic appearances, and they were told the gender of the child, right? They were told what to name the child. They were told who he was. They were told who he would be. They were told what he would do. And now you would think that an angelic visitation would be enough to cause them to believe, but it had to be pretty overwhelming, don't you think? For an angel to tell you these things about your son. And this might be loosely connected, but there might be a message for us about the impact of a well-timed visit, or a well-timed phone call, or a well-timed note, or a word of encouragement. We have no idea what kind of impact we could have with a well-timed visit to a person. We could encourage them. We could motivate their life. We could enable them to have hope, move them forward. We could be just the very person that they need to get them through that season in their life. So, the Magi weren't insignificant. How many know that? They confirmed to these two young parents that everything about Jesus was true. They confirmed to them everything about him was true. Now, this might be for some of you. This might be the only thing that you hear today. You wonder about it a lot. Your life is not a wonderful life. You struggle daily with insignificance. I want you to listen carefully to these words. Your life matters to God. Your life matters to God. And you are making a greater impact on those around you than you realize. Your life matters to God. And let me just say this about this church, Vineyard Community Church, a church of 120 adults, teenagers, children, small town USA, right? In God's eyes, we matter to him. We matter to God. We're making a greater impact than we realize in our community. A greater impact than we realize. In God's economy, small does not mean insignificant. In God's economy, small does not mean insignificant. And so maybe that's a message for you today. Maybe you need to hear it today. You matter. You matter to God. You matter to God. But as we look at the Magi, the wise men, we see something else, something important. They set out on this path. And sometimes we set out on some pretty dark paths, don't we? The wise men came looking for Jesus from the east, and they're often called three kings, right? We know the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." The Bible doesn't really say how many there were. There's probably more than three. It doesn't even say that they were kings. They were just wise men, people of great learning, educated, wealthy people, influential people, held in high esteem in their own society. Most scholars say that they were philosophers. And as a part of their religion, they paid close attention to the stars. Now today we would say that's dabbling in astrology. They dabbled in astrology. And we know the scriptures are very clear about those who refer to astrology for guidance. Isaiah, the prophet, he says in chapter 47, he says, "You are wearied with your many counsels. Let them stand forth and save you, those who divide the heavens, who gaze at the stars, who at the new moons make known what shall come upon you." And God is basically saying through the prophet, saying to us as well, you know, you can look to the stars for guidance, but you will end up frustrated every time. You will end up frustrated every time. So many look for signs, don't they? We look for omens. We look for karma, whatever that is. We look for a fortune, some mystical life answer, dropkick in your lap. That's what we want. We want somebody to just give us the answer that we're hoping for, looking for. And all those things cannot provide you the help that you need. They can't shed any light on your life, looking at those kinds of things, heading down those kinds of paths. They're dark, they're empty paths. And the wise men, you see, they were all their lives, they were on this quest for truth. All their lives, they were on this quest for meaning and purpose. And they were looking for something or someone bigger than themselves to explain and make life clear to them. All their lives, they were looking to the stars, looking, you know, to the scrolls, looking at all these transcripts to try to find what is the meaning of life. But something happened with these wise men. The Magi then, they searched the Hebrew scriptures. And in the Word of God, they discovered a prophecy, and it was found in Numbers. And it was the words of Balaam. And Balaam said this, "A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." Now, I want you to think about this. The Word of God pointed the wise men to a star, and the star pointed them to the Word. I mean, that's what John called Jesus, the Word. Do you remember what he said? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word pointed them to a star, and the star pointed them back to the Word of God in Jesus. And the psalmist said this about the Bible, the Word of God: "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." But there's more about the Magi we need to learn. They gave up everything that they had known to follow the star. They gave it up. They gave up their comfortable existence. They gave up the security of their present life. And they had to wonder, I think, as they sat on their journey, was it worth it? You ever wonder that? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? How long, I'm sure they asked, was this journey going to take? Right? What threats would they encounter on the journey? I mean, it seems like they're fairly certain, but I wonder, did they have doubts? Did they get discouraged? Did they have this fear that they were chasing some pipe dream? I can't help but think that it wasn't all celebration for these men from the East. It wasn't all celebration. And I don't know about you, but our my life, maybe your life, you could say this as well. Our lives have a similar feel to them sometimes. They have a similar feel. We feel like we're walking down a dark path. We feel a little uncertain about life. We feel a little tentative about our lives. What's on the path ahead that's going to surprise us? What's up ahead that's going to hurt us? How do I actually know if I'm going in the right direction? You ever wonder that? How do I know that I'm actually going in the right way? I'm heading in the right direction. You know, one of the main reasons Jesus came from heaven to earth is to lead us. That's one of the main reasons that he came, is to lead us. Jesus sees us stumbling around in the darkness, and he has compassion, and he says to you, and he says to me, I want to lead you. I want to illuminate your life. I want to lead you. That's one of the primary reasons why Jesus came, to save us, but to guide us, to lead us, because we need led, don't we? We find ourselves going down some dark roads, some empty paths. And the good news is this, is that these wise men, they discovered true meaning and their true life calling. And if they did have doubts, they melted away when they saw Jesus. And not just because babies are cute, right? You know that drill, we see a baby, you know, everybody gather, crowds around the baby. Oh, he's so cute. Right? Not just because of that. You know, what they discovered was the God of the universe, the God who made the stars, the God who made the moon, was in the stable. He was in the stable. And the scripture says that they saw Jesus and they bowed down and they worshiped him. At that moment, they discovered the meaning of life. It was not found in their vast knowledge. It was not found in their education. It was not found in their accumulated riches. It was not found in the prestige of being a noted wise man, whatever that means. It wasn't found in any of those things. God had revealed the meaning of life to them, and they found it in Jesus. They found it in Jesus. A relationship with the King of Kings. And in their hearts, and I think this is so crucial, in their hearts, they were always to keep a bended knee to Jesus. In their hearts. Not just physically. I'm sure that they did. They bowed down and they worshiped him. They gave him and Joseph and Mary their gifts. Right? But they were in their hearts, they were always keep a bended knee to Jesus. They were always to say, now I'm a surrendered worshiper of Jesus. I'm a surrendered worshiper of Jesus. They discovered that that is where the meaning of life is right there. Is to always be a submitted worshiper of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, it's difficult sometimes understanding how such an ancient account can have any effect on our lives. But let me just get personal with you this morning. God is calling you and me to make Jesus the primary pursuit. And he wants also for you and me to discover what it means to make an impact for the kingdom of God. We can make an impact. And all of us sometimes are searching for real meaning in our lives. Like George Bailey, like the Magi, we're looking for meaning in our lives. We want to find some significance. How many want to do something significant, right, with your life? All of us can probably say as well, I went down a few paths trying to find meaning. I went down a few. and came up empty. And what I found on the path and what I found at the end of the path was darkness. It was emptiness. Can you relate? So many times our search to find some lasting meaning leads to disappointment. It leads to some severe disappointment in our lives. But here's the good news. Here's the good news of Christmas. God doesn't leave us on our own to discover the reason for living. He doesn't leave us on our own. So many have this perception of God that he is some grand clockmaker, right? He makes the clock. He winds it up. He walks away from what he's created. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. God invites us on the journey toward meaning. He lights up our path on the journey. He meets us on the path of our journey. He guides us on the path of our journey. And he's standing at the end of the path of the journey that we're on. He is the journey. He's the entire journey. He's all of it. I mean, think about it. God forged a lighted path for the Magi, which led right to Jesus. God did the same thing for you and me. How many can say that? He did that for me. Huh? He forged a lighted path in your life and mine. God, I think God is doing that right now this morning. Not only has he done it, but he continues to light up our path to show us the way in this life. And so his message is the same for you and me. Exactly the same. And this is his message. I want you to meet my son. That's it. That's the message. I want you to know my son. I want you to continue walking with my son. That's it. That's the message. And we're not going to find the true meaning in all of our traveling. We're not going to find it true meaning in our garages. We can't even know what we have in our garages. We're not going to find it in our closets. We're not going to find lasting meaning in our bank accounts. We're not going to find it in some coveted position, in our lives. We're not going to find that at all. Jesus is the whole journey. And when we discover who Jesus is, we discover who we are. And what we discover is true meaning. True, lasting meaning. When we come to him and we let him guide us, let him lead us, and let him light our life and our souls up. Amen? Now, this morning, I want to encourage you to do a couple things. First of all, ask God to reveal himself to you this year in a special way. And just pray this prayer sometime today, next few days. Lord, move me from knowing about you to really knowing you. I want to experience, God, your kindness and your love. I want to experience, God, your power, enabling me to do something I couldn't do before or get rid of something in my life that has kept me in the dark. Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. And let God meet you in that prayer. Secondly, I invite you to do this. Believe that God has a calling on your life. Instead of chasing meaning down dark, dead-end paths, pray this prayer. Lord, show me how you want to use my life to be a blessing to other people. Lord, show me how you want to use me to be a blessing to other people in my life. What is the calling, God, on my life? What is your calling on my life? And allow him to reveal that to you. Thirdly, I just encourage you to get a journal, get a notebook, get a pad of paper, and this Christmas, read the first three chapters of the Gospel of John. Begin to jot down all that God shows you as you read about Jesus. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus doing? that shows me the meaning of life? What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus doing that shows me the meaning of my life? And read that every day if you want. First three chapters of John, Gospel of John, up until Christmas Day. And just see how the Holy Spirit, how God will use that time that you spend in the Scriptures to reveal Himself to you in a greater way. Okay? Just some things that you can do this morning. Let's pray. God, we need hope. We need guidance. We need to be led. And forgive us, Lord, for walking down some empty trails. They just haven't satisfied. They haven't brought fulfillment. They haven't brought lasting meaning. I'd venture to say, Lord, that we've all searched for meaning in our lives in some wrong places. And all the time, God, you were saying, here I am. Here I am. And you're pointing, Lord, to your Son. I pray, God, that those who haven't discovered the meaning today of life, what it means to have eternal life, I pray those that are chasing, Lord, after wrong things, I pray that they would turn, begin to chase you. They would seek you. And Lord, your word says that when we seek you, we will find you. So, Lord, if there are any that have not given their hearts to you, their lives to you, they've not bent the knee of their soul, God, to you, to become a follower, I just pray, God, that they would make that decision today. We're asking, God, for fresh eyes and fresh faith. This year, Lord, for Christmas. And we're looking forward, God, to you leading us in ways that we've never dreamt that you would lead us. Ways that you would show up in our lives. They're incredibly powerful. I just want to pause, and maybe you're here today and you just really feeling a tug in your heart that I really want to be led by Christ. I really want to know what that means, and I really do want to experience Him leading me in bigger ways in my life. Maybe you would just want to stand and say, "Yeah, that's me. I want Him to lead me. I really want Him to lead me and guide me." Maybe you would just want to stand. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning and you've just had this oh no moment that you've been chasing after something to really satisfy your soul, and it's just only brought emptiness in your life, and you just want to confess that to the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm so sorry, I've tried to let this fill up my life and it's brought nothing but heartache in me. If you feel like that's you, I just invite you to stand and just confess, Lord, I'm so sorry, I fill my life up with things that really don't give lasting meaning. No one's going to know what that is, so you don't have to be concerned. Just confess that to the Lord. here we are, Lord. We're inviting you this year. Looking, God, with anticipation, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in my life? It's surprising, it's new, it's fresh, it's lasting. We say, Lord, here we are. Just speak to us, Lord. Some of you just may want to just drop to one knee right where you're at. Just as a physical way of saying, I'm a worshiper, Jesus. I'm one of your worshipers, Jesus. Yes, Lord. God, I'm one of your worshipers. So we walk away today, Lord, knowing some very important things. Our lives matter to you. And we're making a much, much bigger impact than we realize. And we embrace, God, what the impact, God, that you want us to make, God, on others for your sake, for the sake of the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I just pray that people would walk away today knowing, hearing the word of the Lord. You matter to me. You matter to me. You're not small. You're not insignificant. You're not worthless. You're not a nobody. You matter. And let those words just ring. Let them just resonate within us as we go today. If you need some prayer, some of our prayer team can be available up here at the front. If you'd have some personal prayer that you'd like. But go with those words in your ears. I matter to God. I matter. I matter to God. Amen? Be blessed.